The New Testament passage is Luke 10, 29 through 37. You'll find it in your Bibles around page 67. Some people say it's not all on 67. It's true, because we have two different editions of the Bible, so it's 67 or near to it. You guys are bright enough to figure that out. So let us hear the word of God found in the Gospel of Luke. But wanting to justify himself, a Torah expert asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came to him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them, then the Samaritan put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, the Samaritan took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" asked Jesus. And then the person said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us.
Thank you. Hi there, you wonderful Presbyterians. I'm thrilled to be with you on this wonderful rainbow day. Isn't it beautiful? So thank you so much for asking me to be here. And I wanted to say what this church has done, because I know some of you have white hair like me and remember, but this church has been a long witness for a long time. And that is, as the church studied us that are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, here we are, all our alphabet. But as they were doing that, this church was key. And so I have come here first to say thank you. Thank you for being that witness. Certainly you remember when Tim Hart Anderson was here and when Covenant Network began, and then we had More Light, and then we had the All May Freely Serve, and then we had the Shire of Stoles that came here, all of these wonderful things. But I want to bring someone into the room. I want to bring Pam Byers into the room, because it was her amazing witness that began the work of Covenant Network and then worked with all of us all the way through. So we're so grateful to you. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come here, is just to say thank you for your history and your history that made it possible for us to be. And so with that, and I had no idea, but you know, you can't go down to the Castro. When I go down to the Castro, I say, I'm going to a church that really likes us. Okay? And so I'd love to give you, and I understand you don't have a flag anymore. Isn't that something? So how did we know? God is good. So I wanted to say, Maggie, thank you for being so wonderful to us. Yes. I'm going to put this over here. So will you pray with me? Wonderful God, we love your word, and we love how it speaks to us today. So we thank you for this amazing church and this amazing witness. We thank you for another Rainbow Day, where you are with those that are oppressed who dare to be free. So be with us as we listen in to you, as we listen into us, as we listen into this word that you continue to give us that speaks to us here and now. Be with us, we pray. Amen. Well, I love these texts. Oh, that I might be like a hollow reed, that you might play your melody through me. Do you love that? Because as I look around, I think we all have been etched out in some way. Haven't we listened and tried to hear that melody so deep within us that we yearn to hear that still small voice that for some may still feel so silent? Oh, that I might be like a hollow reed, that you might play your melody through me. Well, who was this Jesus that came to talk to us about melodies through us? And I want to put us in the context of that time to bring us into the context of this time, especially with what's going on in this country around climate change and immigration and all those things. So stay with me. It was Rome. It was the most violent culture, probably next to ours, that ever was. And in that violence, Jesus came into that milieu in which Israel, of course, was a vassal to Rome, and it was a domination system, a power over system, and it was anyone who did anything wrong against the domination system was told either no, was hurt, whatever it was, and many times along the Appian Way, it wasn't just one cross, it was many crosses that lined the Appian Way, so that if you went against the domination system, it was a fear tactic to hang up people who were saying no to that system. James Cone, in his great book, From the Cross to the Lynching Tree, Make the Connection, he says, if you only see the cross and never see a lynching tree, there's something off here. So it's that kind of place that we're in. And who was this Jesus? He made people awfully cranky, didn't he? This is what he did. First of all, he couldn't handle the disparity between the rich and the poor. And this is what, essentially, since there's 362 verses on economic injustice, may we say that? With that, he said 95% work for 1%. And today, 99% work for 1%. So is that a relevant message? Then the next thing he said, women and children are not property. And we're seeing that right today, aren't we? We're seeing that in a domination system, women and children become property and they are ripped from their family. So he was talking about a discipleship of equals in which men and women were equal in a culture that said, no, they're not. And then he talked about incarceration. Are we learning about all that now? More and more. And he said, isn't it something that the wealthy get off and the poor are there? And now we have a prison industrial complex. Is he relevant about today? And then he talks about how we blame others. It's amazing how relevant. And he said this, when someone either looks different or acts different and so on, we blame them. Martin King used to say this. He said, first of all, what we do is we name. And people in power name people of less power. Have you noticed that? So then first we name, and then we frame, and then we blame. And then We discredit, and then we hurt, and then we kill. And that's how domination systems work. So Jesus said, let's move from one P to another P. Let's move from patriarchy to partnership. Imagine that. From a domination system, a power over system, a domination power over, comes this amazing word, partnership. What if we partnered together? What if we became discipleships of equal? What if we did economic justice in such a way that we could really feed the whole world? What if we could do all of that? And so the thing that just went over everybody was he said things like this. God is like a baker woman who kneads the dough and it rises. God is like the kingdom of God. It's like the hen that I gather, the mother hen, and gathers you among us. Oh, he was so blasphemous. You know, for anyone to say that God might be like a woman, and then we come up with that word Sophia, in which we said Jesus was the Sophia of God, the wisdom of God, that was it. It's one thing to say a thing about people, but when you take Father God away from us and move to divine mystery or move to intimacy, or move to that place in which we talk about a God within us, a God that surrounds us, where the realm of God is within us, something is very different. Rose Wu, this wonderful theologian, she went from Episcopal Divinity School. Do you know about it? It's a wonderful, liberating place. She went there, and she's in Hong Kong, and she is doing all this work on social justice, on the poor, all these things, on the marginalized people. And she said this, every faith community should begin with a lament. And it should be a lament that yearns for justice, mutuality, and healing. And who is this God that we talk about? When I heard this, I couldn't believe it. God is the connecting power of relationality. God is the connecting power of relationality. That is, God is that which happens between you and me. Isn't that fabulous stuff? So how do we do it? She said, so how do we do it? The word is incarnational compassion. And that is, oh, please, God, that I could be as present as I possibly can with whoever is beside me or in front of me. And with that, it's like, if we could do that and be fully present, then I might see the God in you and feel the God in me. So how do we do this more? I want you to say these words. Ready? Latina, women's hermeneutical spiral. Do you love that? Can you say that? Latina, women's hermeneutical spiral. Have you talked to them about that? Not yet. I bet you have. Okay, so here we go. This is what it is. How do you do this work of justice and love? Is that the Latina women's hermeneutical spiral is this. First, you start with the stories of the oppressed, and you listen to them. Then you say, listening to the personal, how is that political? Then you make the connections of other types of oppressive systems, like who else isn't at the table? Then you do sacred celebration. Then you meet and do sacred celebration, and then you formulate strategy. So give us an example. The AIDS quilt, which this church knows very well, The AIDS quilt was fabulous because we took the stories of the people that had died and we did this amazing quilt. And we listened to the other movements of civil rights and others as the stories were told. And then from there, remember, we worshiped together and we named. And in Washington, D.C., many of us were there, in which the quilts were laid out, thousands of them, on the lawn in front of the White House. Do you remember this? And what happened is families, one after the other, started naming the people, started naming their children and their families. It was so powerful that it changed the policies of this country. In British Columbia, not long ago, 350 Indigenous women are either killed or missing. This is true. Indigenous women that are either killed or missing. So what they did, they thought about how can we stop this violence. So 350 families met, and they brought together all this material, and they stitched these quilts together, and they hung them in Parliament. So that there it was. How do we stop this? Strategy, how do we strategize this? Just incredible stuff going on. So, what is this amazing grace? Tell us a Samaritan story. Because you see, that's what Jesus did. Remember the 10 lepers and 9? Remember? And who was the 10th that came back and said, thank you so much? It was a Samaritan. This whole story is how Jesus made them so upset because he kept saying, you don't see, you just don't see that they're us and we're them. So here's an amazing grace story, a true story. My friend John said he's very slight of build, and he said he began to be a truck driver. And he was gay, and he said he was afraid to go into the truck stops because he didn't know what these guys would think about him, because he was little, so he wanted to be invisible, didn't want to cause any problems, kind of thing like this. All right. So this one night in Kansas City, he went to a gay bar, and he parked his big truck several streets away. And he went there just so he could be with other people like himself. And so he went there, and he said about 1 o'clock in the morning, he thought, well, here's an alley here. I'm going to duck down this alley because my truck is closer. So he went down there, and 2 men came out and said terrible epithets to him and began to beat him up. Beat him up so badly that he said he was sure that he was going to die. And then he heard this. Tick, 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 tick. And he said, as he was laying there on the ground, so beat up, he heard that these 2 men were thrown off him. And he heard them running away. And he said this. He looked up, so beaten up, and he looked up, and first he saw a pair of heels. Then he saw a gold lamé dress. And then he saw this wonderful face with a beard. Now watch this. He looked up. This is a true story. He looked up, and he said, who are you? And the person leaned down and said, sweetheart, I am Amazing Grace. True story. I am Amazing Grace. 6'5". Picked John up, carried him to his truck, put him in his truck, bandaged him all up, and he said, John said, "What can I do for you, Amazing Grace?" And Amazing Grace said, "Well, first of all, don't go down strange alleys. Second of all, take me for a ride sometime in your big truck." But the end of the story is even better, because he said, as he got better, he thought, if Amazing Grace can do this, then by God, I can be glad who I am. So he said, for the next 2 years, when he drove a truck, he would go into these truck stores, tooting his horn, yelling, "Here comes your gay truck driver." He said, it was so amazing for him to meet Amazing Grace. Who is your Amazing Grace? Who helps love you into loving who you are, so that you can go out and change systems of oppression which keep people from being free? We thank God for Amazing Grace. We thank God for this church and this choir and this amazing, authentic pastor. Thanks be to God. Amen.